Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to talk to you a little bit about a man named Daniel. There is a book in the Old Testament called Daniel. And in chapter 6, and now you may have heard the story maybe way back in Sunday school, or you've heard a reference made to Daniel in the lion's den, and so it may stir up some thought from somewhere. Maybe you have read it many times. Maybe you've seen a plaque somewhere that made reference to it. I just want to give you a little bit about how Daniel found his way into the lion's den, okay? Daniel, at this point in his life under King Darius, that was the king at the time, Daniel was serving as a leader in Darius's kingdom, along with other administrators and officials. Well, Daniel was so conscientious with the duties he had to perform. And the other thing is that Daniel was not corrupt. He didn't take bribes. He didn't try to take the authority that he had and misuse it for his own personal benefits or agendas or desires. And so what happened is the observance of him by his colleagues or peers and by the king, he was really kind of blameless, you know. He was what we would call as an upright guy, an upstanding guy, a really good man, you know, one worthy of respect, even by those who didn't necessarily live the way he lived. And so through time, King Darius noticed how well Daniel did things and the person that Daniel was. And so it kind of began to leak out that King Darius was very much interested in taking Daniel and basically giving him the whole kingdom other than the title of king. Okay? Basically saying, Daniel, you've done so well. You have the respect of people because of who you are and how you do things. And I'm so pleased with you, and I trust you so much that I'd like to give you the whole kingdom. In other words, the whole kingdom to administrate and have other administrators and officials report to him, and that he could carry out the desires of the king and all the needs of his kingdom through his administrative abilities and through the kind of principles that he held to. King Darius was very happy with Daniel, liked him, and served a great purpose for King Darius. And so this kind of thing leaked out. Well, you know humanity. You know how things happen. All of a sudden it leaks out, and other administrators and officials start to hear this, and they think, well, wait a minute. I mean, I respect the guy, and, you know, I kind of like him, though he bugs me because he kind of, you know, does everything right, and I don't. Kind of bugged some of them, and they got together and they had the little conversations at the, you know, the coffee pot, at the watering hole, you know, wherever they met. Okay, now I don't know if they really had coffee pots back then or not, Greg, but you and I are thankful they serve coffee across the street, aren't we? Yeah. I'll tell you what, I got to say something, and they don't give me a discount over there, so this is not some promotion thing, but I'll tell you what, across the street, it's a family restaurant. My coffee cup never, never gets below half. Isn't it? I mean, they just keep coming by and filling those coffee cups. I mean, you got to finally cover it and go, I don't know how we jumped over there from Daniel, but, you know, we're going to jump back. I know what it is. I'm starting to feel that you're hungry. That's what it is. Yeah, don't look at your watch. they got together. They began to, I didn't hear that, but praise the Lord. Okay, so they got together and they began to talk about, hey, we want to be promoted, basically, is what they're saying. A jealousy and envy set in. And they said, we don't want that to happen. So it seems they were none of the candidates for a promotional package as far as their perspective on it. They started to get together. Said, we gotta go through Daniel's life. There's got to be some dirt somewhere that we can bring to the king. So the king says, oh, wait, glad I found that out. I was just about to make a big mistake. So they go on a search and try to, you know, go around Daniel and try to find out, where's the dirt on this guy? How can we, you know, how can we trip this up from happening so we can bring it to the king? So they all get their assignments and make their plan and check into things and report back, and all that kind of stuff is going on. Find it in Daniel 6. It doesn't give you all the details. It just says this is the synopsis of what's going on. And so they report back together, and basically they're saying, uh-oh, can't find any dirt on this guy. The guy's blameless. What are we going to do? They rally together, and I don't know the time frame, but basically they get together and say, we know. This is what we'll do. We will go to the king, and we will tell the king that we all got together, and we suggest that no one should pray to or worship any other god except to you, King Darius, for the next 30 days. Because they knew that Daniel prayed often and prayed to the living God, the God we worship, whose son he sent to redeem us. They said, if we can go to the king and he can put out a decree through the Medes, which is, you know, kind of, without going into a long history, basically if there was a decree that was given in a certain parameter and reference, is that it could never be appealed. And so what they did is they said, this sounds like a good plan. So they go to the king and they lie to the king. Because they say, we all your administrators, all your officials here, all these, we got together and we thought, O King Darius, who should live forever, that no one should pray to any other god except for you for the next 30 days. And where they lied was, is they all didn't get together. They did not include Daniel. King says, great. We'll make the decree. It'll be binding. Something that you can't appeal. Something that you can't go back to. And so he does it. And so Daniel, 3 times a day, he would go to his room. He would open up the windows. And he would bow down. And he would pray and call out to the God of heaven. This began to happen. I mean, within the 30 days. Okay? That the decree went out. And so, of course, the spies came. You know, the administrators. Or we hear that. Or we know that. And they come to the king and say, King, Daniel's not listening to you. He's not submitting to your authority. He does not obey your decree. King, this guy is praying to another god. The living God. Your decree says, King, and here, let us read it for you. And they lay it out. And they say, and there's no backing down. There's no repeal from this. And the king, his heart sank within him. Because he had such appreciation for Daniel. And yet there's nothing that the king could do if you were to read the story in Daniel chapter 6. And so the sentence is that whoever breaks this is thrown to the den of lions. Now, they had a den, and they had lions. And these lions were not new at this game. There's other people that were thrown down before these lions before. These lions knew the game. Human flesh. And so they bring Daniel and they put him in the lion's den. And the king says to Daniel, "There's nothing I can do for you. May the God, the living God who you pray to, deliver you." The king goes back to his quarters. It says that he couldn't eat anything. This was a night where he didn't even want entertainment brought into him in any fashion or way. Kind of a sleepless night for the king. So concerned for Daniel because there's a loyalty and appreciation and affinity that King Darius had for this man because of how he lived and how he served him. As soon as daylight began to break, the king was up and goes to the lion's den and calls out to Daniel. "Daniel, did your God deliver you?" And a voice comes from within the lion's den. He recognizes it. It's Daniel's voice. And Daniel says, "My God has sent angels to close the mouths of these lions." The king is so relieved. And that he in turn takes all of the evil, scheming, selfish administrators and officials, gets them and their wives and all of their children, takes them all and throws them in to the dens they have with lions. Scripture says that before their bodies hit the ground, they were torn apart. I want us to look at a couple of things that I gather that the Lord kind of brought to my heart. And the first is, we've got to monitor our own hearts and lives when we see blessing and opportunity come to other people. Blessing and opportunity, prosperity, some good thing come to their life. And here's the spiritual principle that's being played, that if we allow those things in us to go unchecked, in me, in you, go unchecked, it opens up this door of access to affect those we love. It wasn't just the evil administrators and officials. King Darius was carrying out a spiritual principle without knowing it, that when we allow those things to live in us, it has spiritual effect, ripple effect, a dimensional effect to go beyond us to the people around us. It can affect our spouse, our children, our grandchildren. The consequence of what we allow to live and filter and reside in us and not be delivered of. And so we've all got to look at our heart for our own life and relationship with the Lord and understand that there is a gateway here, not just to my life, but to those I love. We've got to look at it. Do we give access because of our own flesh, our own carnality, our own selfishness? Do we give some kind of access for the enemy to take hold of and reach not just into our life, but to touch and affect people around us that are so close that we love? we got to remember that our sins are our sins. But sometimes the consequence and the ripple effect, it hits the people around us. It certainly did for them. The other thing I want to mention to you is what got into how Daniel got into the lion's pit was just that he was serving the Lord. It brought criticism. It brought jealousy. God's blessing was on him because Daniel was obedient. And I want you to catch this. The reason that Daniel was obedient to the Lord is that because he first had a relationship with the Lord. It was faith. He wasn't blameless to try to get God's approval. It's that he had this faith and this the living relationship with God. And out of that faith and out of this relationship with God, the result was is Daniel chose to live a certain way in his life. Talk a certain way. Do business a certain way. Carry out the principles of who he is as a person a certain way. It wasn't to try to win God over, it was that because I have this faith in you and I have this allegiance to you and this love for you and you have shown mercy to me. Because of that, I am now going to be transformed and I am going to try to uphold with your help the best life that I can. And that's what got Daniel into the lion's den. It's also the very same thing that got him out. It's the same thing that got him out. Is the Lord. Daniel says, because the Lord has found me innocent, he sent angels. You can read it in Daniel 6. Because the Lord has found me innocent, he has delivered me. He sent angels to close the mouths of lions. Listen, it's not based upon, our salvation is not based upon our righteousness. Because we don't have any. Turn to the person next to you and say, I like you, but you don't have any righteousness. Now listen to this. Listen to this. I like you, but you don't have any of your righteousness of your own. Here's the reality. Now I want you to turn to them and say, I got some good news for you. If you put faith in Jesus Christ, you can have his righteousness. Turn to them. Tell them the good news. If you put faith in him, you can have Jesus' righteousness. Through faith in him, we are justified by his righteousness. He took upon himself on the cross our unrighteousness, paid for it, and in exchange, as we cast our sin upon him, he bore it, carried it, took it, paid for it. In turn, he gives us his righteousness, because he didn't have any unrighteousness. That's the good news of the gospel. Because of Daniel's faith in God, it changed the way he lived as he continued that relationship with God. And that faith from the world's oppression got him into a pit with lions, like claws and fangs and stuff, you know. Wild Kingdom Discovery Channel stuff. You don't even know what that channel is, do you? Those of us in our 30s or more know it. Got him into the pit. But that same faith that caused him to live unto God got him out of the pit. Maybe you and I have gotten into pits not because of a righteous life in God. Maybe sometimes we've been scrutinized or hated or despised because of our faith in him. But there's other pits we've fallen into. I want you to know that it's our fault that we're in them. It's the same principle that gets us out. It is, Lord, have mercy on me. I know I did this. I'm not blaming anybody else. I got in this pit. I am wrong. Please, please have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. And I want you to know, if you're in one of those moments in your life, don't make great promises. Hear me. If you get me out of this, Lord, I will never. You ever hear anybody pray prayers like that? Yeah, you. Me. If you, I will never. Or if you, I will always. Please, don't make those promises. But you can make promises to him. If you, then I will want your help. Always. And if you, with your help, then I will respond to you. I want to make great promises. It's just I'm so desperate. And I'm calling out to you because I'm desperate, but I have a faith in you. I want to know you. In this pit I'm in, go ahead and work me over so that I can be saved by you, that I can know you, that I can change with your help. Just don't flippantly make great promises. If you, then I. I'll always go to church. Well, no, you won't. I'm in the ministry, and I won't. I won't always go. But if you, and with your help, I will serve you. I will look to you. You can make those promises. And I'll tell you, build that relationship with him in the pit. The great thing is if we build a relationship with him before the pit. Hear this. Maybe you're not in a pit today, and I don't want you in one. That's just a general grace, compassion we have. I don't want you in a pit. I don't want to be in a pit. I don't want my kids to be in the pit. I don't want that. But build relationship with him, even if there's no pits. But if you have relationship with him before the pit, you can rely on the clear conscience and relationship with him while you're in the pit. I want to remind you this one of the last things. It's this. We have this kind of this expectation that if we call out to God to deliver us, that he should just kind of get us and get us out. And eventually, he will get us out. Obviously, there's some conditions. We have to obey him and develop a relationship with him, et cetera, et cetera. But he will get us out. But this is the expectation, is that if I call upon you to get me out of this pit and this lion's den, it should mean, okay, get you out. I want you to listen to this. The Lord got him out, but he got him out by closing the mouths of the lions, but he still, while their mouths were closed, had to spend the night with them. Listen, the Lord can deliver us, and he can take us out of something. He can act on our behalf, but we're still walking among the lions, though they can't bite us, can't eat us, can't devour us. We have the expectation he's just get us out of the pit. Listen, we can go through hard times and be in circumstances and situations that press us or people around us to press us. Listen, we call for deliverance. We call out of that relationship with him for help. Listen, it doesn't mean he's just going to come down and grab us and lift us out of there or just come down and wipe everybody else out. He may work in a way where he closed the mouths of the lions, but you're still walking among them. Don't be intimidated. Don't walk with arrogance, but don't be intimidated. I don't know what Daniel did in that den. I don't know, Greg. I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I was in the pit and they didn't come over and bite me, and if I just stand against the wall and just let them walk around until they got me out, Or if I'd go, nice kitty. I don't know if I'd hot dog it a little bit in front of the Lord. Kind of like, you're doing this and I'm going to pull on his tail. I don't know that I'd have done that. Possible. It had probably crossed my mind after a few hours. I don't know if I'd have done it, John. I don't know if I'd have, he closed their mouths and you know what? I'm going to walk around in here. I don't know. I don't know what he did. Don't know what I would do. But I do know this. He closed the mouth of the lion. But Daniel still had to walk among them, live among them for a night. Your idea of deliverance is not always the same. My idea of getting me rescued is not always the same in the mind of the Lord. I don't know, maybe I'd have been dropped in there and started screaming before I hit the floor. Maybe I'd have screamed all night, oh God, don't let them touch me. I don't know. I don't know what you do in your circumstance situation. I don't know. I'm not in that pit. But we have the idea that all evil in the presence of evil should just go away. No. It's a powerful thing of the Lord to do something in our life right there in the face of evil and that which would like to destroy us. And yet darkness can't do a thing about it. It's a powerful thing for the Lord to do something on our life right there in the presence of our enemy, and the enemy can't do a thing about it. Think about that. The power of the Lord to deliver us, do a miracle. Something supernatural, something we couldn't have dreamt, or maybe do something only we could dream of in our wildest dreams. To work on our behalf, right in the presence of darkness, when darkness wants to overtake you and destroy you, and it can't touch you. He closed their mouths. Listen, he did not take away their desire. They are lions. It's what they do. It's how they were created by him. Listen, you might be going through something in your life. You look for how he closes the mouth of the lions. And though you have to walk still past their cubicle, down their hallway, past their house, past their locker, you have to sit across the table from them at meetings. You got to turn wrenches by them in the garage. You've got to go in to their office for reviews. Whatever the situation, you live with an oppressive person in your house. The Lord has a way of bringing us out, even while darkness lurks near us. It's our relationship with him and his kindness towards us that gets us out. Did Daniel rely on his giftedness to get him out? He said, okay, you lions, listen, I'm a great administrator. Now you guys line up two by two in here. One's in front, you lay down. Second row, sit. Third row, you can stand in the back. You move over here, you're a little bit taller. He didn't use his administrative gifts. He couldn't rely on any of his physical abilities. He didn't go in there and say, gee, I wish I would have went to Gold's Gym more. You know, wish I had Samson's anointing. He relied on the Lord. Who are you relying on? Who are you relying on? Your own righteousness? Lord, I've been pretty good, so I don't deserve this. We need to take a look at what got us in the pit. Was it us? Was it the enemy? And how do we get in a place where we can get out, relying on the Lord? And don't ask Him to remove darkness. Just say, deliver me. How you choose, the way you want. If you're unsure, I do have a plan. You can make suggestions. But only with a submitted heart. We're not righteous on our own, friends. Daniel, though blameless, he was not righteous and blameless before the Lord. The Lord found him innocent of what he was put in there for. But it was his faith in God. Do you know why you're justified? Why God says you're okay? Is because your faith in Jesus Christ is what He looks at. And if you have faith in Him, a living faith, an ongoing faith in Him, He looks at you and says, because you have faith in the pure sacrifice of Christ for your life, you're blameless. You're forgiven. We have to continue to build off that to prove that when we ask God to forgive us, we meant it. By continuing to change and not go back, but making good on His kindness, His grace towards us, that we have been justified by faith in Christ. And now the way we live because of it, because of our relationship with Him, it proves that we have changed and are changing. It's kind of mixed emotions because I don't want anybody in a pit, and yet you know what? There's so much to learn in the pit when God's involved. Great deliverance. This is one pit we've all been in. We've been in the pit of sin. All we had to do was be born. That was not even a will of our own. And He loved us so much that He sent His Son to deliver us. Can we make good on God's grace and kindness towards us?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.